Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Wednesday evening, we heard Pastor Bala introduce our Advent series on the pictures of Christ as they are presented in the book of Isaiah. Pastor spoke first of the picture of Christ as the Son of David, that ideal Davidic king who will rule wisely and mercifully, the king who will bring peace and draw all nations to him. Tonight's picture, our second picture of Christ, is from Isaiah, and it is a markedly different portrait. Tonight's portrait is one of the suffering, the servant of Jehovah. Suffering, servant. Those are not names that generate positive imagery. They are not titles that carry with them a sense of success. And they certainly are not titles that would give anyone a sense of authority or leadership. Titles and names, like it or not, do carry some weight in our world. Naming a child can be a very stressful experience for young parents. Corporations and industries spend countless millions on brand development and corporate identity. There exist marketing firms who specialize in the research, development, testing, and legal maneuvering that goes into creating just the right name. They create names for countless products and services. And in today's competitive business world, one cannot risk producing a product that does not carry with it a name that personifies the benefits and the character of that product. Does the perfume's name convey romance? Does the new car model's name reflect its power or European styling? Does that line of clothing capture the imagination of wealthy 18 to 25-year-olds? Yes, a lot goes into a name. Both of my sons have attended Western Illinois University, and I was somewhat unfamiliar with their football team. I'm a Northern grad myself. But when we first visited the campus, I was confused by the name of their football team. It's the Fighting Leathernecks. And where did that come from? Who named a team from a mid-sized university in the middle of nowhere after the Marine Corps? And a little digging brought about an interesting story about what's in a name. Now, here's how I heard it, though there may be someone who has a more detailed account of the facts. When Western was founded at the turn of the last century, it was mostly a teacher's school. And as the school grew and developed, it built up its athletic program. And it introduced the game of football into its curriculum. And what do you suppose they named their team? Wildcats? No. Something Midwestern like Indians or Cardinals? No. As I heard it, they first went out on the field bearing the name Fighting Teachers. Certainly not a name that would inspire fear in the hearts of an opposing team. Now, no offense to the educators here tonight, but this was probably not a good name for a football team. It wasn't until 1926 when the university hired an ex-Marine, Ray Rock Hansen, and that the name changed. Rock Hansen, who had served nobly for our country in World War I, earning the Navy Cross for extreme heroism, and he was awarded permission by Congress to use the Marine's official seal, the eagle, the globe, and anchor emblem, as well as the name Leathernecks, as long as the college did not bring discredit to them. To this day, Western Illinois University is the only state-funded school in the nation to bear this privilege. Now, Western's football team had a name, finally, that fans and students could get behind. It was a name that spoke of power, strength, and certainly of victory. To say the name Leatherneck, you can just picture a rugged football player. But if we speak the name sufferer or servant, we get a different picture. You probably don't picture a victor, and most likely you do not picture a king. Yet 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet and poet Isaiah painted this dramatic portrait of our Savior. And it is a portrait painted in bold strokes. It is a portrait painted with a thick layer of crimson violently slashed across the canvas. This is a portrait of our Savior that, if it hung in our living rooms, it would be hard for us to look at. Let's listen again to chapter 52, verse 14. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. Or later in the verses in chapter 53, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. No, this is not a picture. It is not a pretty picture. And in today's world, or even in Jesus' day, this is not the picture of a powerful earthly king. Who would vote or follow a servant, a suffering, beaten, and rejected servant at that? No, we much more prefer the names from last Wednesday, don't we? The Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are titles that we can get behind. Those are the names of a team to root for. And praise be to God that we can root for them, but only because of the suffering and obedience of that servant of Jehovah, Jesus Christ. No, this is not a case of getting the name wrong. We celebrate Advent and Christ's coming because he was the suffering servant. This does not mean that he was weak or he was submissive to mankind. By no means. It means that he was obedient to his Father who loved his creation and his children so very much that he would not let them die the death that they deserved, the awful death we all deserve because of our sin. The law is very clear. The penalty for sin is death. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, that means you and it means me. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all deserve eternal damnation. But here we are in Advent, and here comes Christmas. Here come the gifts. Since no human being could fulfill what the law demands, God, that loving Father, sent the only solution. The only way for us to be saved is to have one of us, a son of man, fulfill that law. But who could possibly do this? Why, a son of God, yet son of man, Jesus the Christ. Born of the Virgin Mary as a baby and suffered under Pontius Pilate as a man, obedient to his Father, a suffering servant. He was the only one who could accomplish salvation. His suffering, his death, was the only way to justify us sinners before God. It may not be the way we like it, but through the cross is the only way. No, this is not a pretty picture, and these are not the most popular names to call a king. It may not be the picture we like to paint of Jesus. We like our Jesus as the infant in the manger, or the shepherd with the lambs. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with those pictures. But we can never forget that Jesus' ultimate act of love and his ultimate act of strength was his all-availing sacrifice for us on a bloody cross. When he hung there suffering for our sins and uttered the words, "It is finished," he finished death for us. In his death, he conquered Satan and the powers of darkness and conquered the penalty of sin for the whole world. And then he announced his victory over death through his glorious resurrection, the very same resurrection that is ours through baptism. And that's Paul again in Romans chapter 6. We therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's good news. That's the good news the world needs to hear this Christmas. Because this salvation and victory over death is a free gift for everyone. Everyone who calls Jesus as his Savior. This is the news that lets us know what's in a name. No, the name of suffering servant is not a name of weakness. And it is not the name of a loser. Suffering servant is the name of Jesus. It is the name of the Messiah, proclaimed centuries before his birth. And it is the name above all names. It is the name at which every knee should bow in heaven and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.